Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome. Great to see you all. If anyone's in need of a Bible, please raise your hand, and Rick and Robin will put a Bible in your hands. And otherwise, if you have a Bible, please turn to Judges chapter 3. And while you're turning there, obviously, tonight's a little bit different because we've got this Pastor's Cup, and we're going to be diving into an incredible competition very shortly, but we're carrying on with our Sunday night service study through the Old Testament, and as it happens, we're in the book of Judges, and so Judges and Judges chapter 3. So, yeah, it's just a little bit different, and so we have to kind of train the mind here. Who am I? Where are we? What are we doing? Oh yeah, okay, right. So Judges chapter 3, and in Judges chapter 1 and chapter 2, we have kind of an executive summary, if you will, of the whole book of Judges. And the idea is that in Judges chapter 3, we're actually introduced to the first judge that's talked about in the book of Judges. There are 12 judges that we get to read and learn about in the book of Judges. And from the death of Joshua to the time of Samuel and Saul, there's a period of about 300 to 400 years. And in that period of time, as I say, the Israelites are governed, so to speak, by what's called judges. And so we've said that in that period of time, there's an obvious theme. So the period of time, the 300, 400 years, the 12 judges, there's a very, very obvious theme that plays out over and over again, well, specifically 12 times. And specifically, we see the Israelites rebelling against God. God responds by bringing retribution or punishment for their rebellion. And this is followed by some amount of repentance, which in turn is followed by some amount of revival. So rebellion, retribution, repentance, and revival, for which the Lord would say to all of us, "Are you listening?" Carry on. So tonight we're introduced to our first judge, as I said. So if you got your Bibles, Judges chapter 3, and we pick up in verse 7 where we left off from our last time together. "So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Ashereths. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rish-Athaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rish-Athaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rish-Athaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rish-Athaim. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." So, again, first judge, and very few verses to tell us about this judge, but we do believe that there's lots here for us tonight. So, verse 7 again. The Israelites rebelled against the Lord. And so the question is, what was their rebellion? In fact, it says they did evil. And they did evil by forgetting the Lord and worshiping the gods of the Canaanites. And when the Bible says they forgot the Lord, the idea is that it didn't mean they had a memory issue. This is not about having a bad memory. This is about willfully walking away from the God of Israel to serve the God of the Canaanites. And therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, as we read in verse 8. So we have their rebellion. Starts off with the rebellion. And then we're told we have the retribution. The idea is that they're sold into the hands of the king of Mesopotamia. So this was their retribution. And we're told that they lived with this for 8 years. And then we read in verse 9 that the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So here we have their repentance. And then we read that the Lord raised up for them a deliverer. So in verse 10, we read that this deliverer, Othniel, was successful in defeating their enemies, defeating this king of Mesopotamia. And in verse 11, the result was that they had peace for 40 years. So this was their restoration or revival. So on the one hand, very simple understanding of this first judge in the book of Judges. But I do want us to look at a few verses that have great meaning for us 3,300 years later. Yes, I believe they do have great meaning for us. So in verse 9, it says that when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, he raised up a deliverer. So each of these judges are, in fact, there's 12 of them, each of them are, in fact, foreshadowing for us the ultimate deliverer, Jesus the Christ, our deliverer. And as saved people, at one point in time, we cried out to the Lord, as these ones we're reading about did. They cried out to the Lord. The Lord raised up a deliverer for them. And so it is that at one point in time, we cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered us from the penalty of death. He saved us from our evil sin nature. Throughout the study of Judges, we will remind ourselves that we have been delivered from the penalty of sin. As I said, each of those judges is a foreshadowing of the ultimate deliverer, Jesus the Christ. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. At the same time, we will remind ourselves that as long as we are here in these earthly tents, we need to be delivered from the bondage of sin on a very regular basis. Yes, we do. In other words, sin is still an issue in our lives. Our salvation is secure. Our salvation is secure. But sin is still an issue in our lives. In fact, as we read in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, then the truth is not in us. But in 1 John 1:9, we read that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bible quizzers, how did I do with those? So our takeaway tonight is that we would continually look to our deliverer to keep us from sin. But if we stumble, and we will stumble, we want to be quick to ask the Lord to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's our first takeaway. Let's look again at this first sentence of verse 10 again. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, upon Othniel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So here we are introduced to the Spirit of God. And as Christians who have the whole counsel of God's Word, we know that we're talking about the Spirit of God, a reference to the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One what? But three, who? Father, Son, and Spirit. Now allow me to remind us of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And specifically, before we are saved, the Holy Spirit is with us. He's convicting us of our sins and wooing us to the Lord, a right relationship with the Lord. Now, as saved people, he is in us. So first of all, with us, wooing us to the Lord. But then as saved people, he's in us as the guarantee of our relationship with God. And this is what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 up on the screen. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So we are always confident, brothers and sisters. Confident in what? Well, confident that he who began a good work in us will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 1. Thank you, brother. So the Holy Spirit is in us, for which we say, thank you, Jesus. So with us, wooing us into a right relationship with the Lord, in us as the guarantee of our salvation. But then there's the third type of relationship, and that is what we've been talking about with Othniel, and that is the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And that's what we've just read. So the Holy Spirit comes upon believers to empower them, us, to do the work of the Lord, to do his work, his way, for his glory. We need the Holy Spirit upon us to enable us to do the work of God, the work that God's given us. So we never want to think that we can do God's work with our own strength, with our own ability. We never want to think that. And so it is good for us, brothers and sisters, that we would be praying frequently for the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to enable us to be effective in all that God calls us to do. Praying frequently, brothers and sisters, for the Holy Spirit to be upon us, that we would be effective in all that God calls us to do. Now, one last thought, Othniel. And let's look at verse 10 again. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered the king of Mesopotamia into his hand. So he went out. He went out, and the Lord delivered the king of Mesopotamia into his hand. He went out, and the Lord delivered him. I believe this very simple statement has very profound meaning for us here tonight. Every believer through all time needs to be thinking about what we just read here about Othniel. Othniel was raised up by God to deliver the Israelites from the oppression that they were experiencing. He was raised up, and then in verse 10, we read that he went out, and then we read that God delivered this king into his hands. So I love the order of things that we've just read. God called Othniel. He responded to the call, and finally God empowered him to complete what the Lord had given him to do. We read in verse 11 that Othniel was successful and the people had rest for 40 years. And so we have the account of our first judge. And it's a very brief summary of this judge, but it highlights some very significant things for us as believers. Othniel responded to the Lord's call to service. He got in motion, and the Lord then blessed his efforts. And so it is that we like to say that where God guides, he provides. And by this, and by the way, I believe this is what we're seeing with our Bible quizzers. They have felt the call. They have responded to the call. And then by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit is giving them excellence to excel in this call. And so what about ourselves? What about the rest of us? As saved people, we are saved to serve the Lord. He has plans for us. We want to believe that. So if you're here tonight and you're not sure what your calling is, what he is calling you to do, I pray that you would be pleased to leave here tonight praying that the Lord would show you the way he wants you to go, the things he wants you to do, in Jesus' name. Now, if you know what God wants you to do, but you haven't yet stepped out into his will for you, please leave here tonight asking the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit power you need to be able to do his work, his way, for his glory. If you're here tonight and you know what God has called you to do, and you're doing his work, I pray that you would leave here tonight praying that the Lord would give you the ability to press on, to lay hold of all of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of you. It's another Philippians verse that... But very, very seriously, brothers and sisters, if you know God's call on your life, and if you've stepped out and you're doing what God's called you to do, pray that the Lord would give you the Holy Spirit power you need to press on, to keep going, to do all that God has called you to do. Okay, so we're underway in our study of the Judges, and I am convinced that the Lord has lots to say to us, as I said, 3,300 years later, through this particular book. And so the prayer, brothers and sisters, is that by God's grace, we would be active listeners and vibrant followers of King Jesus. So, that's it. We're going to now transition to our Bible quizzing contest. And the idea is that we've got a few things to get ready for. So please stand up, stretch your legs, say hello again, and we'll be right back.